This morning we see that the auditorium is rather empty, and that is because a lot of the people are traveling and this weekend visiting family and friends. But I just wanted to take another day off from the study in 1 Timothy, and I wanted to look at some of the things that we need to remember for this weekend. This is to be Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And a lot of times, like a lot of the holidays that have been established in the United States, there was a good purpose in doing it, but it has largely become just a time of picnicking, fishing, playing games, and we forget about the real meaning. One of the things that Memorial Day was established to do is to remember the many soldiers and servicemen that gave their lives to preserve the right for us to gather here this morning in freedom. Our nation, when it was established, and they met in Philadelphia, and were working on the Constitution. When they came out, someone asked Benjamin Franklin, "What did you give us? Did you give us a monarchy or a republic?" He said, "This Constitution is for a republic. Now it's up to you to see if you can maintain it." The United States was something different than any other nation in the history of the world in what was established in the freedoms that we had, the rights that we had, and the purposes. When most people don't know the history of our country, and I want to get into the message in just a minute, but I want to give you just a little history lesson. Our Constitution was not the first Constitution in the United States. The first Constitution in the United States was the Articles of Confederation. Because we had been independent states, they were going to be joined together as a Confederate nation, and they had the Articles of Confederation. If you find the Articles of Confederation, you'll find a unique statement contained within those articles, and that is that this nation is given to the glory of Jesus Christ. When our Constitution was written, that phrase was removed and replaced with God. Patrick Henry was greatly disturbed by that event, because he said, "What you have done is you have opened up the door for this nation to not be honoring to Jesus Christ, but honoring to whatever man would determine their God is." We see that throughout the history of our nation, there have been various times where people have attempted to usurp the Constitution of our country and take away the freedoms, and in many cases, it meant coming against those that love the Lord. We are currently engaged, really, in a number of wars, both internally and externally, that we don't use guns for, but are wars of ideas. I remember I was in a Bible study a number of years ago, and the teacher of the Bible study asked me a question afterwards. He said, "Glenn, do you think the gospel and the Bible can stand in the face of all the various philosophies of this world?" I told him, "Yes, I do. Because it's the only thing that's true. All the rest are lies, created and perpetrated by the great father of lies to deceive men and to keep them from knowing Jesus Christ. That is why this book is so unique. God has revealed to us, mere humans, His truth, the purpose of His creation, the purpose of His creating man, the purpose of creating the family, the purpose of giving man the opportunity to take care of God's creation and to work to the glory of God. How God desired for man to have fellowship with Him, and that is the purpose that He created us for, to have fellowship and bring glory to His name. All that's been revealed in this book. Nowhere else in any other religion does it reveal that. This morning I wanted us to remember the high calling that God placed on our lives, which we've talked about as we've been going through 1 Timothy and 1 Peter. And the fact that you and I have been called out of darkness onto the Lord's side, into His marvelous light. Before I open up the scripture where we're going to be looking at Joshua, some verses out of Joshua this morning, I just wanted to go back and look at the lyrics of the hymn, the battle hymn of the Republic that we sang. This hymn was written by Julia Ward Howe. It was one of the great times within our nation where there may not have been a nation. And you can look at who was right and who was wrong, and there's all kinds of things. You had the same forces in the world that we have today of evil men who wanted to destroy America and make it non-existent because Satan viewed it as a threat. America has always been, since its inception, the great light of presenting the gospel to the world. America has sent more missionaries out. America has sent more Bibles out. America has sent the gospel message out through radio and television and greater than any other nation. American Christians have given more money to missions than any other people. And Satan hates the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, Mrs. Howe, if you listen to the verses, this wasn't about a civil war. This is about a spiritual war. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You know something? We have never been able to anticipate Jesus' coming as much as we are anticipating it today. But I can imagine back when the guns were flaring and you had brother killing brother, father killing son, in a battle that no one really knew. I mean, there was great things that needed to be dealt with, slavery being one of them. But ultimately, that wasn't the thing that set off the war, because the North had slaves too. I think it was part of God's judgment because they didn't get rid of slavery sooner in America than they did. But the ultimate thing was, it was rights of people. And there was a number of things that set off this war. But I'm sure the people at that time are looking and they're thinking, is Jesus coming soon? And that's what Mrs. Howe is writing here. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And she says, He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. As you look at what's happening in America and around the world today, the grapes of wrath are being stored and they're being trampled by God. A lot of people don't ever want to look at what's happening. Jesus talked to us in Matthew chapter 24 of the fact that the last days you would see great events beginning to occur. Earthquakes, storms, pestilences. We've seen it all, and they're predicting more. They're talking about a big earthquake coming on the West Coast. There have been 7.5 earthquakes all over the world. It's a judgment of God on the wickedness of men. When you have men that want to kill people for the sake of killing people to get rid of them, that's wicked and evil and from the pit of hell. And God's judgment's coming. She saw it in World War, in the Civil War, and she wrote those books, wrote that verse. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. And what would that be the sword of? The sword of judgment. Now this is sobering. A lot of people, we sing this, we go to events, it's sung. We had a choir one time and we put on a cantata and we had this as our closing hymn and it was very emotional and people listened to it. But do they really listen to it? Second verse, I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. They didn't have electricity back in 1860s when the Civil War occurred. And one of the things, the bloodiest war that America was ever in was the Civil War. More Americans got killed in that war than any other war. We saw, my wife had read a book. We watched a video on the Civil War. Decisions of generals, when they came down to lower generals and those men had to lead their men into battle the next day, those men knew they were going to die. What would you do if you knew that tomorrow you were in 99% of the sure you were going to die? Places like Pickett's Charge in Gettysburg, where just about the whole group of men that he oversaw were killed. And after the battle was done, the commanding general came and found General Pickett and said, "How are you doing and how are your men?" And he said, "What men? I have no men." As they had camps, they built altars to Jesus. They read Bibles. As much as they want to tear down statues, there were some really good generals in the South who loved Jesus, who were very concerned about the salvation of their men. And had people preaching to their men that they would know Christ. He has sounded forth a trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. I want you to understand something. That verse is saying something that's very powerful about the book of Revelation. There's coming a day, mercy's done. There's coming a day where the retreating trumpet won't be sounded. And the Lord's coming. We know as His people, we will be gone. But I want you to understand, if you look at the number of millions of people in the world, the billions of people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ and will be facing this day where there will be no retreat when Jesus is on His way. He's sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. He knows every person's heart. You know, I can't fathom that in my mind, because my mind's too little. I don't even know my own heart half the time. But God knows every person's heart. He knows their motivations. He knows what makes them do what they do. And He knows and will hold them accountable for doing it. And there is no hope apart from Christ. You know, if you look at some of the wickedness that's being done in our world, you stop and think, will we have a next generation? You stop to think about this. They want to make it so the kids that are coming up can never have kids. Have you ever stopped to think about that? This whole trans movement is so that those kids will never be able to have kids. That will be the last generation. Because you can't change a woman into a man and a man into a woman, and they, if you attempt to do it, they will never be able to produce a child. The family will come to an end. And Satan is laughing while he's destroying the human race. But God is sifting out the hearts of men. He knows what's happening. Lest we think that, and you and I, we're just a small group of people, and we think, well, what can we do? I mean, you go and you try and talk to people. We talked in our Sunday school class this morning. There's like a veil that's been put over them. They can't see. They think that you're the wicked one because you want to preserve life, because you want to preserve the family, because you want to preserve children. You want to preserve innocence. You want to preserve a love for God. You want to preserve a deliverance from sin. You want to preserve a means by which people can gain heaven and not hell. And you're viewed as wicked. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. She understood, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today you have to make your choice, because tomorrow may never come. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Answer who? God, who is sifting out your heart. Who knows it? And then the greatest line of all, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in His bosom, with a glory in His being, rather, that transfigures you and me. His glory was so great because He's God, that the whole human race could be forgiven and covered in His glory if they but would want to. As He died to make men holy, and that's why Christ came, to make you and me holy. Let us live to make men free. Now, a lot of people think that was merely a slave song, and our last verse was so that slavery people could be set free physically. Slavery was a horrible thing. But there's something that's even more horrible. That's spiritual enslavement. I saw a picture, and it had a video. I didn't look at it, but it had a bunch of young people sitting on a street doing drugs, dying. They were enslaved to drugs, enslaved to rebellion against God, saying, I've got to find a way to have a high. I've got to find a way to escape. I've got to have an answer. And so I'm going to pump my body full of drugs and it'll give me a temporary fix. But it'll never solve my problem. Because He came to set men free. I want us to turn with me to the text this morning in Joshua. Joshua had led the nation of Israel into the promised land. And if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. But now Joshua is old. There are still enemies in the land. And I want to tell you, there's just as there's enemies that remained in the physical land of that Israel was going to inhabit that would be, God had given to them, there were still Canaanite tribes. Those Canaanite tribes believed in the very things that the wicked people of this world today believe in. They sacrificed their children. They didn't believe in worshiping the true and the living God. They did all kinds of wicked and evil things when it came to drugs and alcohol and sex. They were just as perverted, and their value system is the same as it is today. It's just that because we've got technology, we can make it even more wicked, if it's possible. And pockets of these people were left in the land. Just as when our Constitution was given to us, and Abraham and Benjamin Franklin said, "We've given you a republic, now if you can keep it." As he said that, there were men that were at that convention whose whole intent was to establish a nation that was anti-God, not seeking to make the freedom to worship God. It was already there. And it's been in our land ever since. This is not a Christian nation. It's a nation that has been given privileges that no other nation on earth has ever had. But it is not a Christian nation because all the people here have never been Christians. And some of them have been against this nation from day one. Israel was in the same situation. God had given them and promised them the land. He had promised them that He would be their king. He had told Joshua that He would go before them. All they had to do was believe and trust in Him. But they had a problem. A problem like we have in America. Even though we've been given all these freedoms, we take them for granted, and we always think that there must be something better than what we've got. That's what Israel was. You know, you really don't understand this, and we were reading, Roberta and I were reading in some things, and did you know that under Joshua, Joshua never went tent to tent and took out the idols? Never did. The people were supposed to take the idols out of their own tents. He was not going to force them to take them out. They were to do it. Just like God will not force you to come to the cross of Christ, you need to come. And this last chapter really never hit home until I realized that. Joshua, it says, he gathers all the nation of Israel together at the beginning of chapter 24, verse 1. It says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people. So he had all the leadership there and all the people there. And he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Okay? This is, a lot of times we forget, Abraham came out of idolatry. His father was an idol worshiper. He came from the land of the Chaldeans, a nation that was steeped in Babylonianism. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you after you, your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not hearkened unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities for which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore, what should be the result? Who did all of that for the Israelites? The Lord. So Joshua tells them, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now why would he have to tell them, put away the gods? Because they were still hanging on to the gods. I want to tell you, when I was growing up, America was a lot different than it is today. I I talked a little bit before about, we talked, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, about the women's movement of the 60s and how that the natural conclusion of that was having men on the trying to compete against women today and declaring themselves again men, because you can't destroy what God has created as his natural order of things and not have consequences. Just like you cannot destroy the worship of the Lord and saying that God created all things and he's a creator, even though everything around us, Paul is exactly right, and the Bible is true, but Paul is exactly right with his wording in verses in chapter 1 of Romans, where he says that men look on God's creation and they can see the hand of God, but they deny it. And then he uses that phrase, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You got, we got a whole world full of fools today, and some of them are our leaders that are claimed to be the most intellectual. You got men who have got so much ability when it comes to electronics, but they're fools. They say that I am going to hook myself to the cloud. I am going to, so I will never die. I will live eternally, and I will be able to come back, and I will have my little icon that will, losing the word for it. So you can see me, but I'll be alive in the cloud. I want to tell you, they're fools. God says they're going to die. They're going to face hell. They're trying to become God. And then they say, because I don't need a body, you don't need a body. You need to have a chip implanted in your head so that you in turn can be put up into the cloud. And then I can control you because I know more about you than you know. They are playing God. And they're fools. And the thing is, if you look at right here, the nation of Israel was really no different in the day in which they lived. They had, God had done all these marvelous things for them. You know, one of the amazing things is, Martin Luther King made a speech. He said, I have a dream. You know what his dream speech was about? Equality. Where you didn't judge a man by his color of his skin, the intellect that he possessed, but you judged a man because he was a man. You judged a woman because she was a woman. You judged them because they are all created in the image of God and they were created equal. Just like our Constitution says, but man has always wanted to usurp this book and anything based on it. But if you look at one of the things that were fought, that it wasn't a physical fight. We had the Civil War. Part of that was slavery. But in the 60s, Rosa Parks stood for equal rights. There was a little girl, I forget her name, but her skin was darker than mine. I don't like to use the word black and brown and all the other. She had more melanin than I have. And she went to school where she wasn't supposed to go. I remember growing up where that was no longer an issue. They could not keep you out of school because of the color of your skin or your nationality. But you know what they're doing today? They're having schools where only certain color kids can go. And they say that's because we're paying back for all the things that we did wrong. They're going back to exactly what... Martin Luther King might have never, just as well, never said that. What they've done is they've dug up the idols. And if you want to get racist with the way that it is, it's a bunch of rich white guys that are creating all black schools where they're segregating black kids from white kids, and they're making racism an issue again. They're all the same. One's got more melanin in their skin than the other one, but they're humans created in the image of God. They're the same. But these people are from the pit of hell, and they want to control people by differences. And when they can divide, they can keep people away from the truth. And heaven forbid, if they hear the truth, it'll set them free. When people hear that it's not by the color of your skin or your how much you scored on your IQ test or whether you can understand electronics or not, but it's the fact you're created in God's image and He gave you a moral conscience and you are a human being. The people of Israel coming into a land where they were to drive out the people that possessed those values, the values that are trying to be foisted back on our world. And know what they did? They hid idols to their gods in their tents. And they worshiped their gods in secret. Oh, they'd go to temple, or tabernacle at the time. They go to the tabernacle, they'd offer their sacrifices to God, but they had their idols. Their hearts were going a different direction. And Joshua says, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord," can you imagine saying that to people who are supposed to be believers in God? That's like going into churches today. Well, there's churches today that don't want to serve God. They've created a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different God. They want to appease the world in a world view, in a world spirit that's anti-God, that only enslaves people. I want to tell you, is it enslaving to sell somebody that's caught up into the homosexual lifestyle? Ah, I'm sorry. You got to live that lifestyle the rest of your life. And you got to face the fact that you're probably going to be more prone to disease. You're probably going to die sooner. You're probably going to have all these problems because you've chosen that lifestyle, but there's no hope for you. Or is it loving and caring to say, you can be delivered from that sin? Because you've been created in the image of God. And God sent His Son to redeem you. And God's Son paid a penalty that is greater than that sin. That sin and that enslavement that Satan has placed you in can be broken by the power of the cross. But you can't say that. You can't say that or you get in trouble. You can't say that or you'll be flying in the face of the world spirit. And Joshua is saying to them, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You see, he knew that there was this hypocrisy in the camp. And so they're saying, pull off the hypocrite's mask. Hypocrisy comes from the concept of placing a mask on so that you cannot determine what my real intent is. You can have people that talk very Christian who do not love Jesus. And they will even say things like loving Jesus, but they give different definitions to words. I want to tell you something. The day in which we live, there are two things that Satan has attacked amongst people in our ability to really communicate. One is language. One is language. We don't talk to people anymore. When I was a little kid, lived on a farm, and guess what? When I was really little, we didn't even have a TV set. And when we did get a TV set, it was black and white, and it usually went like this. And you'd have to go up and whack it alongside, and then the thing would go, and then it would, you could watch it for a little while. So it was rather a pain to try and watch television when it first came out. And so what we did was unique. My parents usually on a Friday night or a Saturday night would get us in the car, and we'd go to a neighbor's house, and we'd sit, and they would visit. And I thought it was very horrible at the time, but looking back, it was not. Oftentimes, we'd go to people's place where they didn't have any kids. And so it'd be my folks talking to those other adults, and my sister and I would have to sit and listen. I tell you, it didn't hurt us at all. We didn't have cell phones, didn't have toys, didn't have even toys to take with us. And we just had to sit and listen. But today, people don't even talk. When's the last time you invited your neighbor over just to talk? Just to share what's happening in the world and what does the Bible say about that? I mean, I want to tell you, you get people to talk, and they've got concerns because they see happening what the Bible says is going to happen. What's all this nonsense that's going on? I can't figure it out. Why did they shut down the whole world for a year and a half? Why did they take all our freedoms away for a year and a half? Test run. It was a test run. How much will the people put up with? And the Bible says it's coming. They want a chip in your hand or a chip in your forehead, and they can control you. And I want to tell you, the technology is there. Wasn't there when I was 10, wasn't there when I was 20, wasn't there when I was 50. It's there today. And the thing is, who are you going to fear? Because the thing is, we can fear that, but the Bible says that we are to fear God. So Israel is looking at all of the Canaanite little hot spots left in of the Canaanite peoples, and they are a vicious people, by the way. These people are so vicious, they would kill their own children as part of their sacrificial system of worship. Well, we do that in America too, so. But the thing is, they would kill their own children, they would have human sacrifice, they had weapons that were more powerful than Israel's weapons. You know what the response of, you can read later on when they march into Canaan, land of Canaan after Joshua is dead. And it says that some of them appeased the Canaanites. They said, we're not going to wipe them out like God told us to. Now, was God merciful to any of them? Yeah, He was merciful to Gideonites because they came seeking deliverance. But those, like, He was merciful to Rahab. She was seeking deliverance. The thing is, they weren't to show mercy because their wickedness had gone so far that when you destroy your own family and are willing to destroy your own culture, the wickedness is, it's unbelievable. Israel said, we can get along. We'll put them to servitude. God told them, if you don't do what I say, they are going to be a thorn in your side and they will cause you problems. Joshua is saying the same thing. If you're going to serve this world, then serve this world. Don't say you're serving God while you're cozying up alongside the world and want to be buddy-buddy with it. I want to appease you. So I will, even though the Bible says there are certain parameters that are to be within someone who is to be leading a church body and to be responsible for the souls of that church. There are certain characteristics that are to be found in that individual. We're going to ignore them all. And we're going to put people in the pastorate and people behind pulpits that really aren't even believers. But they're good speakers. They can entertain the folks. And we can get 3 points with the world. Joshua says no. Choose you this day. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, you never hear people hardly ever preaching that. They have big rallies around America. They're called America First Rally. I don't know what the current term is. They have really good speakers there and stuff, but you don't hear them talk about this. You don't hear them call America to repentance. It's not politicians that are going to save America. It's only the repentant hearts of God, of the people, and turning back to Jesus Christ that can possibly save America if we're not too far gone already. Because the wickedness is so, so deep. When you kill your babies after they're born, and they want to pass laws that you have to let the baby stay alive, I don't know if it's how many days it is, to determine whether you really want to have the baby in your home or not. And if you decide you really don't want the baby, then not only that, now you got a problem. Your parents are using up all your inheritance because nursing homes are expensive. Well, let's get rid of our parents. Those are real things happening in our country. I've talked before, the family has been utterly destroyed in the minority community, especially the black community, and the government did it. They come in making all kinds of promises, but the promises are designed to get the dad out of the house, to get mom totally dependent on the government for money. It's disgusting. Whenever I hear this thing that because I have less melanin than somebody else, I've got to give them a whole bunch of money, tax-wise. And then I see slavery still going on by the very people that say, oh, we're so against slavery. But they're the ones promoting it. There's different forms of slavery. When you enslave a people so they never can have hope. I mean, we had a lady come from Chicago, and she had to move back home because of COVID, but she was planning on, she was working at Sanford, and she was planning on moving here, and she said she had 5 kids back there, and she wasn't that old, and I said, well, man, you must have had kids. Oh, yeah, first one, I think she was in her mid-teens when she had her first baby. I said, well, why do you want to move here? Well, I said, I don't want to live in Chicago. I don't want to raise my family in Chicago. My nephew was walking out of his house the other day, got shot and killed. Didn't even know the person. They were shooting at somebody else. You hear about little tiny kids out playing in their front yard, shot and killed. Gangbangers going down the street, fighting with one another. That's slavery. And who put them there? Do your own research. Usually the ones crying the loudest against something are the ones that are the ones that did it. And the ones that don't believe in the truth of God's word are the ones that are behind it. If you've got people that say the Bible needs to be destroyed, and they just as soon have burnings of Bibles, they'd want to shut churches down. That's why we're all unessential during COVID. You have all that going on, and then look at who's still enslaving the people, and look who enslaved them in the past. Then Joshua goes on and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. That's the choice each one of us makes. You make it every day. Who am I going to serve today? Who am I going to listen to today? Who am I going to let influence me today? And you say, well, I really messed up. I messed up so bad yesterday. I did something really... I sinned yesterday. Well, guess what? Today's a new day. And if you confess your sin, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all righteousness. And today's a new day. So we can serve the Lord. And then we'll close with this. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord God, He it is who brought us up." And He goes, and they respond back to Him. "And Joshua said unto them, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods." That's a caveat. God will forgive you, but He won't forgive you on your deathbed simply because you waited till your deathbed. There's no guarantee. Because you've chose to serve a different God today. Even though you knew, today is the day. This moment is the moment. How does this tie into Memorial Day? We had a whole lot of men, a whole lot of women, that gave up their lives to preserve our right to meet here, to worship God. Not all of them are Christians. But they had based it upon they based their commitment on a constitution that was based on this truth. That all men are created equal. And all men have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it all starts in your relationship with God. You can't have any of those without it. And that's how you preserve a republic. But the problem is, we're a long ways down the wrong road. But it can begin with our decisions today. For us to get back on the right path. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You help us understand the power of the battle hymn of the Republic. She wasn't talking about a physical war between brothers over political concepts. She was talking about a holy and righteous God judging His world because of their wickedness. Lord, may we understand that You came in the beauty of the lilies. You were born across the sea. and that you came to set man free. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to